Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to bring you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great first weekend of October, opening weekend of the archery season for many critters, white-tailed deer, mule deer, Rio Grande turkey. And the cooler weather has started to slowly make its way into the Lone Star
State.
So hope you all have enjoyed some of the refreshness that has occurred. This week show, we start our annual 4 weeks waltz across Texas. We visit with all eight Texas Parks and Wildlife District leaders. During the 4 week run, the district leaders are going to covey up and have their annual meeting. So we've got Texas Outdoors Journal Whitetail editor Bob Zeglin to give his overall perspective of the upcoming hunting seasons. And so it's a big show. I mean, there's lots of information. If you didn't read the August issue of Texas Outdoors Journal, that set the stage. Shame on you that you didn't read it. You got to go get it before it's off sale, which is probably already off sale. Get a subscription, folks. And this is going to be the update, because from the time the information is gathered to when we visit now, they complete surveys and, I mean, work continues. Conditions.
So we're right on it. What's going on?
Plus, we've got some news. We're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road. Great show headed your way. So y'all do stick around. And remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. Harold, it's good to be back after a two-week absence. Had to do a little hunting with some manufacturers. I know. Somebody has to do it. But want to reach out and thank several people. Dave Richardson with H&G Marketing, H&G Outdoors. Factory reps for Weatherby and a whole bunch of other fine products, put together a gathering of media types, retailers from around the Lone Star State, as well as their fine personnel, and had a great shoot down on the G5 Ranch. that Clint Brandt owns down around Derby. You know where Derby is?
No.
South of Pearsall.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful game ranch. And we had a chance to ring out some of Weatherby's new shotguns, imports from Italy.
Okay.
One of them is the 18i Weatherby shotgun, which some say has an action very, very similar to the Benelli.
Okay.
Okay. It's available in both 12 and 20. There's camo model, deluxe model, plus the Upland model. Then one that really caught my attention was the Orion Weatherby shotgun. It's an over and under. Neat thing about it, you'd like this, or for anybody, in the 20-gauge,
yeah,
it's built on a 20-gauge frame.
Wonderful.
Okay?
Right.
Not a 12, you know,
correct,
frame, and they stick 20 barrels on it. The other thing that was interesting, and we've done many stories on not having ammunition or where
right,
you go or the search, you know, mm-hmm, to find. Well, when it comes to weather, we saw some of their long rifles, and one of them was a Mark V Hunter in the 6.5 Needmore. I mean, Creedmoor.
Creedmoor. Mm-hmm.
Right. Kind of understanding.
Well, you need more Creedmoor.
Right, right,
right. Okay.
Exactly. But we compared that to the 6.5 Weatherby RPM Magnum.
Yeah.
The difference is that on the Weatherby, a dead-on hold out to 400 yards.
Wow.
I mean, that's really,
that
really
sure
impressive.
Right.
The other thing in conversations with the retailers as well as the folks from Weatherby was when people would come in and look for ammunition, 300 Win Mag, you know, some of the popular, you mm-hmm, know, calibers, and they go, no, we're out of it, sorry. And they go, what am I going to do? And the retailers would go, why don't you buy a Weatherby?
Yeah.
We have Weatherby ammunition.
Okay.
They never ran out of Weatherby ammunition. So, I mean, just another reason. Good actions. Really got immersed into the Weatherby lineup.
Did you get where the ammo is made?
No, did not. Okay. I mean, don't have that information that I recall or that we even asked.
Right, but they got plenty of it.
Yeah,
that's good.
But quite honestly, you don't know where some of the other ammunition that's out there is being made. You
correct.
Know? That's still in a state of flux.
But obviously, we're not importing the Russian stuff anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. From there, I went to Uvalde. Our friends at Spear Ag, you know, had put together some stuff and really spent some time just kind of looking around the area.
Mm-hmm.
Love that Uvalde area.
Right.
And continue to thoughts and prayers go into those folks. Then went from there to Roosevelt, up around Fort McCavitt. Have mm-hmm, you ever been around Fort McCavitt?
Briefly, yeah.
I mean, I was impressed with the ruins mm-hmm, of the old fort.
Yeah.
But on the 14,000-acre Coralina Ranch, it's a low-fence ranch,
mm-hmm,
free-ranging axis. I tell you what, free-range animals and axis deer in particular, they just act differently.
Yeah, they sure do.
They just act mm-hmm, differently, you know. But
you got a 9 power scope. I'll just move a little further out.
Yeah, right. And you have all of our eyes, you
yeah,
know, watching
right,
you.
Right.
Scott Huggins with Adventures Mission and Retreats put that together. And want to remind folks, anybody looking for a great hunting lease,
mm-hmm,
they have a family program that is phenomenal. You need to go to their website. And you can give them a call at 940-393-6200 and take a look at their program or let Scott, you know, explain it to you. They've also got fishing trips down in Costa Rica, fly fishing trips in New Mexico, Rocky Mountain bull elk hunts for 2023.
My.
Okay, yeah, so it's busy week. We've got a media advisory from Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, Carter Smith has announced his retirement.
Correct.
The commission and their committee has gone through the process of screening, if you will, of applicants. And coming up on Wednesday the 5th, there's in the hearing room, there's going to be a report of their findings and recommendation to the full commission. So that's going to be interesting. If you can't make it, you can go to the TPWD website where there's a live audio stream will be available. Also in Limestone County, chronic wasting disease. The more we know, the more we realize we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just pops up. But in a deer breeding facility, this has been detected, the first positive detection in that county. And They're going to be setting boundaries. As we know, supposedly, chronic wasting disease is not detrimental to any humans.
Good.
You got any news for us?
I got a little bit.
What you got?
Before we run out of time, because we got, you know, two guests the wings. Just real quick, though, Texas Freshwater Fisheries Center, they're excited to announce it's accepting entries for their 23 Wildlife Forever Fish Art Contest through February 28th, part of an international conservation education program designed to foster youth interest in fisheries and fishing. Participants must submit a completed and original illustration of a wild fish found in Texas. The kids are in grades 4 to 12, some more little nippers. One-page creative writing piece. Once the entry form is submitted, applicants must mail their artwork to Texas Freshwater Fisheries Center, 5550 FM 2495, Athens, Texas. And dimensions for the artwork must be between 8 by 10 and 9 by 12, and again, postmarked by February 28th, 23. And all that stuff's online anyway, but the Freshwater Fisheries Center, and that's kind of cool.
Outstanding. Okay, we're going to take a break, and as Harold said, we've got two guests. He's got a big show that's coming up behind us. So y'all stick around, as we'll be back with our best bets and more right after this.
America's best-selling truck for 45 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks. Trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 45 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about building the trucks you can depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 45 years. Ford's F-Series. Built Ford tough. The best in Texas.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
It is time for our best bets, and that's brought to you by our friends at Third Coast Thermal. Third Coast Thermal is owned and operated by a Christian family that's proud of the USA and committed to providing professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Third Coast Thermal carries a variety of top brands that have been vetted for your day and nighttime hunting needs. These include high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. When it comes time to invest in these hunting tools, the professionals at Third Coast Thermal will provide their analysis of products that will help assure a well-informed hunting investment is made. Okay, mentioned to you, opening weekend of bow season. Hunt whitetail deer during the day.
Right.
Go hunt free-ranging or axis deer, fallow deer,
or pigs
at night.
That's right.
At night, maybe some varmints. Take out some some coyotes, bobcat.
Right.
Beautiful trophies, and you got to manage your predators just as well as our game animals. Absolutely. Take a look at their website, because so many manufacturers have come out with new products. Inventory is constantly changing.
And prices are constantly going down, too.
Yes, they are. They certainly are. Go to thirdcoastthermal.com or give them a call at 832-827-4574. That's 832-827-4574.
Okay, checking the Texas Outdoors Journal. Fishing and hunting times this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, are rated as fair. Monday's a good day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a trio of best days. Friday and next Saturday are two more good ones. Next Sunday, another best day. This weekend and on Monday, look for game to become active well before sunrise. Continue to actively feed until mid-morning. On Tuesday and Wednesday, this major feeding period of the day will begin either side of sunrise. Continue until either side of the noon hour. Times will have continued to adjust, so by Thursday, Friday, and next Saturday, game will be actively feeding from mid-morning until early to mid-afternoon. Next Sunday, this most active period will occur from late morning until mid-afternoon. This Sunday, October the 2nd, the moon will enter its first quarter phase. By next Sunday, October the 9th, the moon will be full. On the coast, this weekend, Saturday, we'll have a single low tide as the only tide of the day. This Sunday, as well as Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, a quartet of days with a single tide schedule of one high and one low. Thursday through next Sunday, a quartet of days with a double-tide schedule of two highs and two lows each day.
All right, on the coast, first off, our thoughts and prayers go to our friends over in Florida, the Tampa, St. Petersburg area, and on down to Fort Myers, devastated by Category 4 Hurricane Ian. Any of those of us that live in a Gulf state, mm-hmm. or, you know, even the Atlantic seaboard,
right.
We know what y'all are dealing with, and you too will recover, but thoughts and prayers for those lost, as well as the devastation that occurred, and a recovery that certainly will be protracted. On the Texas coast, we've got a cool front that's come in. Conditions are going to change. Mm. We're finally hitting that transition we've been looking for. The photo period of the day is shortening. The water temperature is cooling, and you're going to see fish become even more active than they have been. That's true from Lake Calcasieu over in southwest Louisiana. On Sabine Lake, Old Reliable Captain Randy Foreman saying that schools of redfish and shrimp are feeding on speckled trout and redfish are feeding on shrimp in the McFadden Beach shoreline. Flounder in the channel are biting on shrimp. Sabine Lake, redfish and speckled trout are schooling under the birds. So bird activity is really good, not only there, Calcasieu, on into the Trinity Bay system, as well as throughout Galveston Bay. Down around Freeport, redfish are good on mullet and shrimp. Trout continue to bite on croaker. In the Chocolate Bay and Bastrop Bay area, it's holding good redfish and trout drifting in water 3 feet deep with shrimp under a cork. Down to the mid-coast area, say Port O'Connor, slot redfish are being caught on Spanish sardines. Then you've got tarpon catches to 100 pounds with live croaker as those fish make their way southward. In the Corpus Christi Corpus Christi Bay, he's trying to say.
Okay.
You've got, smaller size redfish and trout that are being caught, but the action is good and steady. Port Mansfield, fishing has seen some good days. Best bite remaining in about 2 feet of water. And finally, out of Port Isabel, a few slot trout on the edges of the intercoastal and at night temperatures. With high temperatures in the 60s, not high temperatures in the 60s, with temperatures in the lower 70s at night. Okay,
yeah, all good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's going on in our lakes?
Let's go to East Texas. Caddo bass continue to be good with topwater action with flukes, popwires, and frogs. Schooling action is still hot using Texas rigged June bugs, watermelon, red worms, and drop shots worked around the schools. Nacogdoches. Largemouth bass are good on topwaters in the morning along grass edges on the north end. Quality fish are suspended in the water column and relating to timber and brush. Belton, the cold front, which pushed in on the 25th, 26th of September, turned the topwater bass bite on. Each day this week has seen about 2.25 hours, 2.5 hours of solid topwater action. Successful anglers will work to quickly identify the size of shad and the fish are feeding on, and throw artificial baits to match that. Limestone. Crappie are good, suspended in 12 to 18 feet of water around brush and standing timber using minnows. Largemouth bass are good in 2 to 15 feet of water on points and brush near the docks using Texas or Carolina rigs and crankbait still. House, the cold front that pushed in several cool nights that followed really turned the bite back on. White bass continue to concentrate on both break lines and slow tapering bottoms in the 38 to 48 foot range, but are now much more willing to chase that bite. Smallmouth bass begin schooling on the surface around 8:30 in the morning, go strong until around 11 a.m. Texoma, sand bass are on shallow flats in less than 15 feet of water, biting topwaters in the morning. Striped bass are good, catching the bigger fish shallow in 2 to 4 feet of water on topwaters, then moving out to 40 or 50 feet of water, fishing with slabs for box fish.
All right, where do we go? To Amistad.
Amistad.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And get this, Harold, while I was gone, Amistad Reservoir has come up over 22 feet.
Oh, my.
It's currently standing at 42.47 feet low. The increased water level now has the Air Force Marina boat ramp reopened. Catfish are good, with some fish shallow in 28 to 32 feet of water along the edges of hydrilla. And best bait, cheese bait or punch bait. Choke Canyon, bass fishing starting to pick up with topwater buzz baits and frogs in the grass. Crappie are excellent on live bait over brush piles. Texana, bass are good in the timber and structure with crankbaits and weightless flukes. Brownwood, bass are excellent to 8 1/3 pounds on 7-inch power worms around the docks with brush in 6 to 15 feet of water. Crappie good to 1 pound on minnows suspended under docks and jigs. Harold, if you were going to go to Brownwood and fish,
yes,
fish the docks.
Okay.
Okay. Alan Henry, crappie are good on minnows over brush 25 to 35 feet. O.H. Ivy, known for big bass, but they also have a great white bass bite going on right now on live bait and crankbaits. Crappie are good with jigs and minnows.
Head of the Hill Country, Buckhannon, catfish are good on cut shad, punch bait in 6 to 12 feet of water. Crappie are good in 10 to 16 feet of water on chartreuse jigs. Canyon, bass are excellent on topwater lures around grass first thing in the morning, flipping into the grass and hydrilla in 18 to 22 feet after lunch. Travis, bass are good targeting shallow structure, throwing Texas rigs, jigs, and creature baits. Numbers of fish being caught in grass and casting beyond docks, that's where those bigger fish are at. Another good option for bass are on topwaters, walking baits, pop-ars, weightless flukes, soft paddle-tail swim baits. Focusing on shaded shallow shorelines, it's like a song, shaded shallow shorelines with brush and rock.
You got a melody for that?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, on the hunting scene, dove seasons continue. The north zone through November 13th. The central zone through the 30th of October, as well as the south zone. But the big news is this weekend, the pronghorn antelope season is open from till the 16th. Opened, of course, on Saturday the 1st. White-tailed deer, as we mentioned, Rio Grande turkey, and mule deer. Archery season are open through November 4. Opening, of course, on the 1st, running through February 26th is the fall East Texas season. You're familiar with the May season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the fall version of it.
All right.
Yeah. Been on, off, fuel,
anywhere,
electric?
Anywhere I wanted to go, gas, lots of gas.
Lots of gas.
You use lots of gas.
Oh, good.
You'll love this. It's huge. Or should I say huge? That's right, huge. This is probably Audio Bob's next vehicle, the 2022 Grand Wagoneer Obsidian 4x4. Oh, what a whopper. I mean, you can put several large families in there, just move them in. It's amazing. 6.4 liter V8. Get the Hemis while you can, friends.
Right.
8-speed automatic transmission. All the safety features you want. But all the selects for all the on and off things you want to do. Their fabulous air suspension, on-demand transfer case, automatic parking system. And you got to park it. You need help sometimes. This thing's big. Cruise control with stop and go. I love that. That's great on road trips. Forward collision warning, rear cross path detection, every safety feature you can think. And when you're looking at the dash, you got a 12-inch display screen, which, don't look at it too much. You're supposed to keep your eye on the road. Of course, tri-zone automatic temperature controls with this thing because it's three rows of seats. A ton of room inside, and just all the other stuff you wanted with this thing. It had all the goodies, adjustable roof rack rails, clear coat exterior paint, 22-inch polished wheels with black insert, front console cooler. That's what got me. I went in to get my sunglasses on. My sunglasses are cold. It's got a cooler in the console.
Right.
There's all the tow package, trailer brake sway control, trailer hitch lineup assist, trailer hitch zoom. Removable rear tow hook. More. 13 miles of the gallon.
That's not
town.
Bad.
18 on the highway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And base vehicle, 97.9. But this one loaded to the gills was Bob money. $112,475 plus TTNL.
What is that again?
$112,475 plus tax, title, and license.
Buy two.
There you go. Anyway, it's a whopper, the 22 Grand Wagoneer Obsidian 4x4.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, We're going to start our waltz across Texas. We're heading to Tyler. District Leader Roger Wolf, he's on his way.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloon tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997. We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with Vitamins and Minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. We already know that Texas is a big state with a variety of peak of rut activity
absolutely
occurring around Texas. You need to have Fortified Cottonseed out there with its vitamin package. You should have already been feeding it because the mamas dropped does and they were lactating. They needed that milk production. For the bucks, we know they're going to lose about 25% of their body weight. They're going to need to be able to recover. Mm-hmm. And we've dealt with a drought. So many things that fortified feeding, fortified cottonseed can overcome and assist. If you got free-ranging critters or you got exotic animals, that just further stresses the available forage that's out there. Go online to their website at fortifiedcottonseed.com. Check out the video. Introduce you to all the players involved. Tells you the whole story. Then give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. The best thing is from all reports that have come in, better than a 2-to-1 savings over a traditional protein regimen.
Right, and they don't get messed with pigs and coons.
You like that.
Oh, I do like that.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, we start our annual Waltz Across Texas, no better place than a district that literally cuts diagonally through East Texas, through East Texas down into the Post Oak Savannah country, Post Oak country. It's just intriguing to see what District Leader Roger Wolf and his crew overlook. Hey, Roger, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. As we have mentioned, and I tease you occasionally when we talk privately, the way your district is situated, you really do. You've got a district that runs diagonal, and you get kind of a feel for at least the eastern half of the Lone Star State. were you heavily impacted by the drought through the district, and did the rains in August have any positive benefit? Let's start there.
Well, I would say yes and yes to that. I think we did have some impacts, and I think we're going to see probably some carryover impacts, but it's pretty spotty. You know, I think there are areas we had, you know, pretty good early rain, especially in the central and northern part of the district. I think the southern and maybe western parts of the district were more impacted by the drought, didn't have those early rains, the beneficial rains early that some of the rest part of it did. So I think we're probably going to see is there may be some areas of the district where the drought may have some impact on fawn production, may have a little bit of impact on antler development just because of lack of forage during that period in the summer. We have gotten some beneficial rains. We've dried back out, but we did get the beneficial rains that made things green back up. So that's a nice benefit.
All right. Well, you mentioned forage. Lack of rainfall, I'm assuming that adversely, in fact, affected our mast crop?
Well, yeah, I think it did, in places, but you know, when I've been out and about, their trees are still producing. So, you know, it may have impacted quality a little bit. You know, the acorns may not be quite as big, or the trees may not have produced as many. But there is still some acorn production out there, so I think that's positive.
Yeah, Roger, this is Harold. I mean, that would require, I think, some folks, some scouting, too, because if you have a good crop, some places you can get out there amongst them, which I love to do, but if not, then you've got to get to your stand and over your feeder, right?
Yes, you know, and we all know if you have a really good, it can impact deer coming to feeders. They'll eat acorns just as readily, or maybe more so than going to feeders. So you kind of have to see what's going on your property, individual property, to make sure that, you know, if there is good production, it may impact your ability to pull animals into the feeder.
We know that antler development is the benefit of age and skeletal, you know, requirements being taken care of.
And protein.
Yeah, right. Well, exactly, protein. With the drought, do you think we're going to see less antler development? Is that the and how about body weight? What are we looking at there?
Well, I would say, I've gotten some reports about some concerns about that. So I think that people need to be aware that there may be some impacts. Now, about body weight, they may have been able to recover some of that. You know, with pre-rut here, as things have greened back up, but I'm guessing that there may be, again, isolated some antler production impacts from that severe. Now, it wasn't just the drought, but the heat associated with that. I think it was a combination of those two things. If we just had heat, we probably, and with rain, would have been all right. If we had rain and without the heat, you know, it was, but that combination of those two things is pretty severe on critters for a while.
Gotcha. Let's shift from whitetail to waterfowl. Backwater sloughs, runoff, anything come into our lakes, backwater sloughs, what shape are those areas for migrating ducks?
You know, we had some rain and it was beneficial, but we didn't get as much runoff as we were hoping. So I think those sloughs and those shallow areas may still be impacted. I know Lake Palestine's still a couple feet down, and I think that's pretty common. Especially in that eastern and western, or the western and southern part of the district. I think our water levels are probably still down now. You know, that can all change in 2 weeks, but right now I would say our water levels are going to be a little low. It's going to impact waterfowl at this point.
Yeah, Roger, what are the prospects for turkey season?
Well, you know, much of the district is closed as we're continuing to do restoration efforts. You know, we do have some counties that still have some some opportunities. I will say that, our restoration efforts, we're getting reports of some production this year. We're getting reports of birds that, we've moved around over the last, year to 5 years. I would say a qualified positive, everything kind of is looking positive that we're having some effect on getting the birds reestablished. So, as far as, most of the district doesn't have a lot of hunting. We get some of the north up along the Red River, we are seeing reports of production. So that's a positive thing.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we're out of time. We appreciate your update. Appreciate y'all's input in the August issue of Texas Outdoors Journal. Our first guest today from Tyler, Texas, District Leader Roger Wolf. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're heading to Canyon, where District Leader Brad Simpson is on his way.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I'm Brad Wiest. I have the honor and privilege of working alongside my brother Travis and our mother Joy here on our historic ranch and at Natural Bridge Caverns, our family business. We love the land, love this place that we grew up on. We're growing and expanding, everything that we have here to offer. Each generation has an opportunity to build upon what the previous generation did. And Capital Farm Credit is a partner in that. With them, we are able to grow this legacy.
Visit CapitalFarmCredit.com.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike Forage Oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike Forage Oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season. And since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike Forage Oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike Forage Oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
All right, we continue our waltz across Texas. We move from Tyler, Texas, now to Canyon, where District Leader Brad Simpson joins us. Brad, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing, my friend? You there, Brad?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. Just a matter of pushing the right button.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Hey, listen, when we talked for the written report in the August issue of Texas Outdoors Journal, know that you all have been monitoring and compiling information on the upcoming season and conditions, and everything was dry. But then mid and late August, we got some rains. Did that have any significant impact in your district to the rangeland?
I don't believe it did. I mean, it turned things green, and obviously the vegetation responded, but that was the last rain we received since then. So things are starting to dry up out there in a hurry now. So we sure could use some more rain.
Well, that's going to impact the fall forbs as well as things, terrestrial animals, but then your playas, I guess, really haven't benefited and refilled with water either for waterfowl, right?
Well, yeah. There are a few playas that were able to catch some water with that rainfall, but since it's been hot and dry since, they're starting to see the effects of that as well. So
okay.
We sure could use some more fall rain.
All right, for antlered animals, you've got whitetail and mule deer. Of course, then we've got our pronghorn herd for horned animals. How did that impact their growth this year?
Well, we think that, our field staff is not seeing the number of fawns that we typically see. And we're kind of expecting, probably a below average year as far as antler development, just because of, like you said, the forbs that weren't available, and some of the other nutritional aspects that we typically like to see.
Big time this year for decisions that hunters will make. If a good animal hasn't reached his maximum potential, maybe a good option to take something else, take a few extra doe off, and leave those bucks to try to grow some antlers during better times, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. That would be a good strategy.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering that, Brad, because you guys do have so much to offer up there. How are you looking at, like, the migratory birds and dove and your upland birds like pheasant?
Yeah, as far as doves go, it seems like the last couple of weeks things have picked up. I, you know, heard some early reports when the season first opened that it was kind of slow, but for whatever reason, things have picked up recently. I think if we get some good, you know, like I said, some good fall rain, it helped put some water in the playas. I think, you know, waterfowl hunting could be good to great.
Harold mentioned upland birds. Let's switch over to quail, your Bob White quail, because I know that the pheasant, they've kind of been like a yo-yo up and down of late.
Oh, yeah.
But on the quail, are they holding their own, or have we seen a decline? Where are we there?
Yeah, you know, last year was one of our worst surveys results that we'd had, probably since we've been doing surveys. But even though those were pretty poor, we did get some favorable reports throughout the year that people were finding quail in isolated areas, and we expect the same this year. You know, where we got good habitat and they had some good, you know, good conditions to raise broods. It could be fair in some areas.
Is that the result of those industrious, hustling little birds getting some late-season rainfall last year and clutched up and maybe had some babies that were available later in the season, or maybe we didn't hear or see the birds during the original survey?
Exactly. It's possible. Yeah, some of our field staff thought that you know, they were there. They just weren't seeing them because of some of the roadside vegetation. And that certainly seemed to be the case when the season started. So that's always a consideration when we're running our roadside surveys.
You ought to sit down. Bill's doing his turkey dance across the table from me. Hey, how about the turkeys? How are they doing?
Yeah, again, you know, with the dry conditions, we're you know, expecting some, you know, that to be down as far as poult production. Our field staff really isn't seeing, you know, the number of birds that we typically would like to see. But again, it's kind of like the quail. There are certain areas where folks have seen some turkey poults, so that could be, you know, good for the long term.
Got a question for you, and this is kind of coming out of left field. You don't expect this one from me, but I know you can handle it. Coming out of New Mexico, you got mule deer and you've got elk. Are you seeing an increased number of critters crossing the state line and moving into the Lone Star State from New Mexico?
Well, that's a good question. And I would say, you know, obviously we got, you know, animals don't care about borders.
Right.
So they are, you know, we do know that we got mule deer and probably elk in some areas that are crossing the border back and forth. So as far as an increase, I wouldn't, you know, I'd, don't have a good grasp on that right now, but it's possible.
I know that elk are no longer classified a game animal in Texas, but I was just curious to see if anecdotally, if, you know, you were hearing from wheat farmers complaining about, you know, elk foraging on their winter wheat or anything like that. Just kind of a sidelight because, yeah, as you pointed out, they don't recognize borders. So,
correct.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's the fun part of what, you know, these guys do, you know, and we get to ask them questions.
Well, it's fun, too, because you're out there, and I'll just go, look at that. We haven't seen one of those before. You know, that's great.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, $48 annual hunting permit. Y'all have a fair amount of ground up in your country to do some hunting, don't you?
We do. You know, I've got a couple of biologists that are working hard to get some quality, you know, public hunting lands, to, you know, that we lease from private landowners to allow access to their property to hunt, you know, doves, upland game, and some in situations, waterfowl. So we've been working on that hard. We feel it's important.
Outstanding. Hey, you got a big area, lots of great country. We appreciate what you and your staff are doing. Our guest this afternoon in the second segment has been Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Brad Simpson from Canyon. Brad, appreciate you joining us today.
You bet. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Brad. Friends, we'll be back because there's still more Texas Outdoor News.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause 6 types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12, and there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, looks like those folks with DU are raising money.
Yep, a lot of fundraisers coming up with the Ducks Unlimited folks. And here we go, Navasota chapter. That's going to be on October 4. I'll give you their website at the end of all these because it's the same one. October 6, Fort Worth chapter, Ducks Unlimited in Fort Worth. October 6, Killeen, Fort Hood chapter, fundraising banquet in Killeen. October 6 again, Calhoun County chapter, Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Port Lavaca. October 6th again, Tomball Magnolia chapter, fundraiser in Magnolia. October the 8th, Jasper County Ducks Unlimited fundraising in, Jasper, okay? For information on all of these and reservations, just visit ducks.org and then go to one of those great events, help them out in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 45 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
And do remember, Hybrid Light is the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News. They have incredible flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more, and they keep improving. They've got a new flashlight out now. It's 1,000 lumens. You got to remember the old incandescent bulb normal flashlight is like 20, 30 lumens, so this thing is a scorcher. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source. And they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, these lights can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners and friends, they got a special offer for 20% off any of their products, any, and free same-day shipping. Go to hybridlight.com, and at checkout, just add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, at checkout, TEXAS20 for 20% off and free same-day shipping at hybridlight.com. And their kits that feature several lights at once are really a value.
Yeah, no, those. Yeah. Good. I tell you what, their headlamp.
Yeah,
that's half the best on the market.
Weighs a half an ounce, too. Yeah,
and they sell out quickly. Yeah, you know, so I mean, you need to get an order in before the Christmas rush. I want to thank our guest today, Roger Wolf from Tyler, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader for that district, and Brad Simpson out of Canyon. This is just the beginning, folks, that we do for 30 years.
Well, yes, and a compliment to you, too, because like you said, it's like herding cats, because these guys are all out there busy. They're in the field all the time.
I mean, they're checking with field staff. Right. You know, they got surveys they're finishing and coming up. And then we do the report in the August issue, and then we do a follow-up for those that didn't read it, you know, through the month of October. So next week we're going to go, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Brownwood.
Okay.
New Parks and Wildlife District Leader, Dean Marquardt. And then...
we'll be nice to him.
Yeah. Well, Dean was the technical guidance biologist out there.
Right.
When Kevin Moat, and then they sent Kevin to Austin to try to make him behave.
Right,
you know? But then also we're going to go to Alpine, Texas with Mike Giannis to get a report out there in the Trans-Pecos region.
Well, and before we're through, we're going to be covering the whole state, and you say we're going to bog Zeglin somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, the district leaders will have their annual meeting, and so we'll bring Bob in to give his perspective. Guy that's only taken about six or seven Boone and Crockett free-range whitetails, you know what I mean?
He
knows a thing or two.
A thing or two.
Yes.
Yeah. Scientific, too.
Yes.
Got it all going.
Absolutely.
And practical. Uh-huh. What a combination. Okay, friends, speaking of a good combination, it's Texas Outdoor News and Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers, okay? Do check our website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com. All of our shows are archived there, so if you said, well, what did he say today? We'll just go there, you know, and play it. It's right there waiting for you, all right? And there's a list of our great affiliate stations there, too, and then you can catch us on Stitcher Smart Radio and like us on Facebook. That helps build the audience. Remember, if you're in the field or on the water, be safe, so you can be back next week for more Texas Outdoor News.